Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. Manchester United beat Chelsea. Manchester City gubbed West Ham. And Billy Sharp's off the mark. Whoa! It's the biggest and the best, ladies and gentlemen.
Biggest, the best, better than the rest, better than the rest.
I think that was a song that I heard once.
That was a PR song for the World Wrestling Federation in the early 90s.
Was it Machine Head? I can't remember.
The people who are tuning in and thinking, what's happening? We've been making up songs this morning. And Pete's just done another one.
I sang another song, Hocus Pocus, by the wonderful band Roxette. And everyone got upset that it wasn't a real Roxette song. It was a real Roxette song. It was some Super Mario Brothers soundtrack, all right? Thank you. Bob Hoskins. Sorry,
the unforgettable Super Mario Brothers. The film itself is unforgettable enough. Imagine being able to recall the soundtrack to said film.
Craziness, Peter. Craziness.
Yeah, wild.
Oh, the Premier League is back.
It's back, baby.
It's bigger and better.
How do you guys feel the other side of the Premier League returning now? Do you feel like it's like an old comfortable jumper you've just put back on? Or do you think, oh God, this is a bit... I'm bored of it already, or what do you think?
I got very excited for Fantasy League, realised that I'd benched Harry Kane and Jimenez.
You should have done that.
Not to worry.
I'm currently 1,088th in the official Football Ramble Daily
League. Just outside the 1,000.
And 78th in the Discord Fantasy League for those who are patrons. Yeah, so it's been an fairly inauspicious start for me, really.
That's all right. You're tucked in there.
Safe, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Safe from relegation.
Exactly. Yeah, sort of. That said, I don't know how many teams are in there in total. It could be 78 and 1,088 for all I know.
Nonsense. Yeah. Absolute nonsense. Yes. Well, let's start with talking about some of that Premier League action. Manchester United versus Chelsea. Jose Mourinho looking on in that safe studio of his.
he looked well.
He did look very well.
Suits him to be in an almost literal ivory tower overlooking everyone.
I enjoyed him digging out Luke Shaw, saying that Harry Maguire will have to cover the left back many times.
Old habits die hard, Peter.
Yeah.
Some of the fans were having a little sing-song of his name. Maybe Jose, give us a wave.
Because I think it was the crowd near the studio who could see him.
He enjoyed it.
Of course he enjoyed it. You'd enjoy it.
I can't begrudge him that, but he will interpret that as still singing my name.
Yeah.
Still.
Peter, if we were in the ground, I'd
put the manager on this field.
If we're in a stadium and a load of people turn around and saw Marcus and started singing, there's only one Marcus Speller, Marcus would enjoy it.
He would, but he'd be shrouded by the buffet, the Adidas buffet.
That's true, actually.
He'd be behind it.
Shrouded by it? Shrouded. Like a massive bit of phyllo pastry.
Yeah, it's like, what's that shameful bird that you eat?
Oh, yeah, we have to put that napkin over your face. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called, but you eat it whole. It's a bird that's drowned in brandy, isn't it?
Yeah, and the bones cut the roof of your mouth and it makes it salty.
It's illegal.
It should be illegal.
Yeah.
And it should remain illegal. Yeah.
Something else that should be illegal is Chelsea's inability to defend against the counter-attack at Old Trafford.
Did you feel sorry for Lamps? Do you ever feel sorry for Lamps?
It was a very, at times, Lampard-esque kind of forward. You know, there's a lot of forward momentum, and that's kind of that got them caught at the break.
You mean he didn't have Gerrard there to mop
exactly.
up behind
him?
There was a fantastic tweet, and the person who tweeted it, if they're listening, I salute you, but I can't find it again, and I can't remember their name. There's a Sky Sports graphic of Frank Lampard with his arms outstretched.
I did see that.
And as he puts his arms out, the blue and white ticker tape comes down for Chelsea, and someone referred to him in that as the Tory night kit, which was very enjoyable.
It was quite an enjoyable little graphic, actually, with Frank, who looked very magnificent.
Doesn't look so good now in the rearview mirror when you've lost 4-0 in the first game of the season.
Yeah, I mean, Manchester United beat Chelsea 4-0, of course. It wasn't really a 4-0 game, was it, Luke Moore?
But Chelsea played well for a good amount of time.
They did.
But they got undone over and over again by the same tactic, if it was even a tactic. I mean, because a lot of the chat earlier in the game was talking about how Shaw will come forward and Maguire or Lindelof will have to cover behind, and they weren't covering behind, as Pete kind of alluded to what Mourinho said. But Chelsea couldn't find a way to cut through. Of course, they hit the woodwork a couple of times. And then my concern would probably be that when the second goal went in, the third goal came along very quickly.
It did.
And then they didn't really recover. And the fourth goal came in. And then you all of a sudden, you can do all you like about chatting to the team afterwards or chatting to the fans and saying, oh, it wasn't a 4-0 game. Well, you lost 4-0. And that is literally the worst way to start a season.
Yeah, the thing that quite excited me was to see the starting lineups before the game kicked off. I just love the fact that he went with, because we spoke about Mount or Barkley, well, he went with both.
Yeah.
And Abraham up front, quite a brave thing to do.
I thought Mount was okay.
I think it's a shame for Chelsea they lost 4-0, obviously, but the manner of the defeat, because they should have, I think Martin Tyler said, or Gary Neville said just before half time, he said, Lampard will wonder how his team are not going in level here. You know, they played well. They caused problems for Manchester United. And I think that actually that scoreline doesn't really tell us an enormous amount about Chelsea. It doesn't tell us an awful lot about Manchester United. Manchester United will revel in that victory, and they should.
It was always going to be which team dealt with the pressure of having Jose Mourinho watch them the best.
And I think we found out. Yeah.
But the, I mean, because the key moment was probably the Zuma on Rashford, the Zuma penalty decision.
That swung
massively. The pendulum swung then. Although, swang, it swang.
It had a little...
Swangled.
Yeah, but although it did have a little swang, but Chelsea still played well for that kind of first hour. The second goal killed it off. But I'd love the fact that he played Mount. I mean, imagine if you're a Chelsea Youth Academy product or in the Chelsea Youth Academy and you see Mason Mount, who played last season at Derby. I understand it's under the same manager, but he played in the Championship, played well last season. Mm. There he is starting for one of the biggest clubs in the country, in Europe, you could argue, against Manchester United, another one of the biggest clubs in the world. You know, it may end in tears for Lampard. I appreciate that. But
it's ended in tears kind of after a 4-0 defeat as well. Yeah.
Well, but you take the point.
Mason Mount set every other academy prospect at Chelsea back 3 years in their development. Because, well, we tried it and this is what happened.
Well, I don't. I think that...
Will he be more conservative at home?
Well, but Mount and Abraham as well, both came through the Chelsea academy. There they are starting the game. Is this not what we want to see? This is what we... And it almost feels that there's like some sort of, I don't know, mini kind of revolution teetering away, because the playing style, the whole English
what
game.
What happened to the Night King south of the border? That's all I'm saying. South of the wall.
Wall, exactly. Mark doesn't know. He won't
know. Then don't laugh at his tweet then.
No, he can. He can laugh if he wants. He laughs at my jokes all the time, Pete. Jealous. Yeah,
but he doesn't know it.
There were apparently 22 English starters at the top six clubs this weekend, the most in almost 6 years. They had an average age of just 23 and a half. So, That tells its own story. I actually thought Christian Pulisic was unlucky not to start after the fact that he's done really well in pre-season. It might have been that they felt that certain other players were better off at dealing with the attacking threat that Man United offered and would work back more. But Barkley had a really poor game.
Yeah.
He didn't really do an awful lot. Jorginho and Kovacic didn't do much protecting the back four. It was a difficult day at the office for Chelsea, and it is so funny how the narrative turns, because everyone pretty much was saying the first manager to lose his job this season will be Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. It might still be.
Well, this but is it. Not I like think that. The scoreline doesn't say an awful lot. I think Chelsea.
I didn't say that in my predictions, and that's the most important
don't
thing.
Don't reveal it.
I'm not revealing it. All right, I might have said it.
Could be a bluff.
Who had Morgan Schleiden for red cards?
But another thing, sorry, Marcus, another thing that's worth pointing out, I think, is this idea that Paul Pogba, this want-away superstar player who used to be the captain and used to be the penalty taker, is now no longer either, but quietly bustled through the game, got two assists, and Man United won 4-0.
He played well.
Yeah, if he carries on like that, there will be all the fuss will be forgotten about fairly quickly.
Well, yeah. Yeah, if he plays like that and he stops going on about moving away, no sooner they won the game and all, he's like, yeah, I'm going to play professional, yeah, I'll be a professional player for Manchester United. But off the back of a 4-0 win, you've played well, Paul. Don't keep going on about moving. If the move happens, then you're away. Just let it settle. But it was Manchester United's new signings that caught the eye as well. Wan-Bissaka just looked very, very at home in the Manchester United red.
Yes,
he just looked so calm and so almost like a touch of I don't want to say swag, a confidence.
Well, early indications show that he's not going to be the kind of character who's going to be daunted by playing.
Exactly, he's a marvellous player, and England are very, very lucky at right back at the moment. Trent Alexander-Arnold, of course, Wan-Bissaka, who hasn't even got a cap, I don't think. Southgate would have said to him, "Don't worry, pal, you'll very much be in the."
You're at Man United now, so you'll get 70.
But he could be the Manchester United starting right back if he plays like this. No one to put too much pressure on him for the next 10 years. Think of the age it is, unless, of course, he gets a move to a bigger side. And next to him, Harry Maguire as well, who made a difference. I mean, Mourinho was very effusive with his praise of Hazard Maguaza, who played well, and it's a great signing for
did
them.
Did he go any raid? Did he go on any raiders though? I can't recall him doing much raiding.
He got a lot of touches of the ball.
Yeah,
I think you know.
Again, he'll get that.
The European champion right back is also English. Don't forget that.
He is. So, well, no, that's what I said. Him and Trent Alexander-Arnold, they'll
be vying
there
for it, won't they?
Kyle Walker as well. Maybe if Kieran Trippier starts, you know, if Pete Donaldson will move back to right back. I've said this
Let's
to
not
him
turn this into
times.
an extended England treatise from Marcus Beller, because we have plenty of those throughout the season anyway. What about Daniel James's goal?
He's Welsh, I'm not interested.
How much did that mean to him? Don't care.
It meant a lot. I thought to myself, if you were playing in the Championship last season and then you got a fairly surprise move, I think it's fair to say, to Manchester United. Come on, score your goal. I mean, yes, you want to see someone celebrate like that. The only thing is, and we'll get to this in a minute, is it would have been annoying if VAR had chalked it off.
Yeah.
But there we are, I'll save that.
Man United fans will be loving the fact, I presume, that they've got a young kid there, a young British player, who obviously means a hell of a lot to play for Man United. Mm-hmm. Because I think Man United fans will, and I'm not saying I've got that much sympathy for them, because they've had their time. They're going to feel like they've been overshadowed by some other clubs in the Premier League this season. And so for a young, exciting player to come, and not only come, but score, and it means a lot to play for Man United. And I know he's had issues personally, and that's why it was an emotional occasion for him. But it looked like he really wanted to play for them. And I think that's something that Man United fans, if I were a United fan, I'd be looking at that and going, great, that makes me feel really, really good, Marcus and Pete.
But no, you're absolutely right. The feel-good factor was there. I just wonder how much that performance and the result will transcend for the rest of the season, if you see what I mean. Because Chelsea were rather poor at the back. Yes, they're a good side. Just an air of caution. But there's no doubt there's the feel-good factor is there. And what I really like about what Solskjaer's doing is the way the forward line go. You can see why he didn't want Lukaku in there, that type of forward. Because Martial, with the number 9 on his back, playing quite, you know, pretty much.
They swapped as well, him and Rashford.
Exactly.
Bit,
him and Rashford and, blimey, who else started up there? I can't think. You know, Pereira was supporting as well.
It was Lingard, wasn't it?
Lingard was involved.
Yeah.
So, Rashford and Martial, the pace to burn, they can score goals. The way Rashford took his second goal, you think, wonderful confidence. Mm. There's sometimes been a few question marks over Rashford's finishing, but he's still young. But we know he can finish well.
And the way Daniel James showed the confidence to put that ball in off the defender, it was amazing.
It was really, really good.
Was it ironic that they got the fourth was a deflected goal against Frank Lampard?
I don't know. Fitting, perhaps.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any
Is this a curtain raiser that the Manchester United fans have deserved for a good few seasons now?
They always win the first game, especially at Old Trafford. But
But they had a terrible record against top six teams last season.
Mm. Well, I think that was, yeah, someone said that Daniel James has equaled Lukaku's record against the top six. It's a bit harsh. He's a 70-odd million pound player. He's got four goals and he's in today. But you have a bit of respect.
He's got his head out of a window in Italy.
Yeah. Is that right? but Manchester United, with Maguire and Lindelof in defence, that's a settled centre-back partnership, you would think.
Mm.
And they've struggled for... I think Smalling, Jones and Rojo weren't even in the squad.
Mm.
If you're a Manchester United fan...
They've got a lot of centre-backs.
Yeah, they do. There is reason, massive reason, to be optimistic. See what happens with Pogba. If Pogba stays and he knuckles down, that'll be very, very good. If he leaves, then some of the circus is gone as well. But one man who escaped the shellacking of Manchester United was David Luiz.
He's off.
He's gone to Arsenal. I think that's not a bad signing for Arsenal. Chelsea fans didn't take it well, though.
Linked back up with Unai Emery. Well, take it even worse this morning after yesterday.
I mean, yeah, you'd think
because,
so.
Because he's, you know, I know he's got his own detractors and he makes his mistakes and he takes risks, but he's an elite player and I think he massively strengthens Arsenal. I know he didn't feature yesterday, but he strengthens them for sure. And I think linking back up with Emery as well is a positive thing. And for £8 million.
I think it's a really good signing. I don't know people going, oh, you calamity. Blah, blah, blah. Have you seen what Arsenal have had recently? I think it's a good signing. But Chelsea fans didn't take it very well. They bombarded David Luiz's restaurant with poor reviews, one-star reviews.
Did they really?
Yeah, they did. people, some of the captions weren't very... Captions? Some of the...
Comments
weren't very nice. Terrible service, disgusting food. Another fan wrote, saw people having photos with a big rat that had curly hair.
Big rat.
So petty.
That had curly hair.
Oh, that's biting satire, that is.
Referring to David Luiz as a big rat.
Yeah.
He's put in a lot of hours in service at that club.
And also, I mean, Champions League winner, he's won several. You don't win the amount of trophies that he's won without being a good quality player. And you don't play under the managers he's played under. Without being, a top level operator, and given that what Arsenal had there before was pretty threadbare, that's an absolute coup for them.
It is because Szczęsny's gone, obviously, and Mustafi's still there. So yeah. I think that was a great sign.
But having said that, Arsenal did keep a clean sheet at the weekend
against Newcastle,
and that does mean something because I think Arsenal had the fewest clean sheets in the Premier League away from home last season, the whole Premier League.
Yeah, absolutely.
So for them to start with one is obviously a positive.
Well,
sign.
they would have been very relieved that Andy Carroll wasn't in the squad.
He's sat in the stand with
he's coming.
Is it Idol written?
He's coming. He's coming.
Oh, I forgot that we didn't really talk about this on Thursday. No. Yeah, Andy Carroll's back. Look, if you can't get behind that, that's a lovely little bit of ramble trophy.
Come on, Andy Carroll back at Newcastle.
Did he not sign early enough to feature him? Presumably he did.
Oh, he's just so not injured.
Fit.
Oh, he's
I was about to say, do you think he's fit?
No, when he signed, he said, I've already started running outside.
Oh, okay. Cheers.
Thanks, Andy.
Outside.
Cheers, mate.
Yeah. How would you rate your fitness? I can run outside.
Oh, good. I can run on any surface.
Because you know all our games are outside.
Yeah. The old Premier League indoor.
Oh, I just thought he wasn't match fit, but he's not fit at all.
No, he's not fit.
Okay, right.
I don't think he's been match fit since Liverpool, has he?
Is he still a professional footballer? I don't know. They got him on a free. Manchester City obviously won 5-0. That's what they do. VAR was causing a stir at the London Stadium. And in other stadiums around the country, of course, Wolves also denied a win against Leicester.
Tedious. Tedious. An inauspicious start, like Luke said.
Yeah. I mean, I know VAR is here. I wonder if we'll live to regret that.
I found the dystopian female voice at Old Trafford.
Oh yes,
was weird.
That was odd.
So she was going. She would, every so often there would be like a. I can't remember the exact.
It's quite
word.
Robotic.
It was like, VAR check in progress.
They would be like. They need to get like a hologram, like Blade Runner 2047. Yeah.
It was a bit Blade Runner.
Yeah. And at the end of the voice, she would go, VAR check complete.
Yeah,
Cybernet system, Cyberdyne.
Yeah,
that's what I think to myself. We'll be doing away with the refs and the linos soon enough.
Well, the way that it's being implemented, and I've said this before, that Sterling offside at almost said the Boleyn then at the London Stadium. there's no need for an assistant referee. You literally don't need one.
Yep.
Because all they're going to do is confuse the issue by putting the flag up and stopping someone scoring when it might not be offside or whatever. So I know they put their flag up a lot later now for that reason.
Right.
But to me, it's. And you see some people, some ex-pros or even some current pros or pundits or whatever saying, well, look, it's either offside or it isn't. I don't know what the complaining is about. But then offside wasn't really drawn up for that reason.
No.
Offside wasn't drawn up for the fact that a millimetre of Raheem Sterling's shoulder is offside in the build-ups. There's no goal. I mean, if you like that kind of thing, then you're different to me in terms of a football fan, because that's not what I'm there for
it's
at all.
It's bollocks. And people say, oh, well, VAR's not the problem. I understand that it's the rules, but this is the problem. You need to say, is it daylight? Is it a... You know, and
well, it's not daylight, is it?
No. Well, that's it.
Apparently, it's never been daylight. Apparently, that's a myth.
Yeah, I that's what I've heard. So it's any part of their body. But how was that Wolves goal chalked off?
The VAR is not fit for purpose in that particular situation. In that, it's just that why is the linesman doing something that the VAR isn't doing? But why can't that decision be done almost immediately? Yeah. I can't understand.
But this is the problem with the black and white nature of this. That Wolves goal against Leicester.
But that was for handball, not for offside.
That was for handball.
Yeah.
There's no way that should have been chalked off, for my money.
Well, we had...
Oh, but it was a handball, to end of conversation. No, that was a perfectly fine goal. And no Leicester player, if they'd have seen the replays, would have complained about that.
The storyline of this is quite interesting, because you had the way it was implemented in the Champions League last season, where it was any hand or arm or whatever that gave an advantage to an attacking player... the goal should have been disallowed. And then the Premier League came out and said, oh, actually, we're not going to be as harsh on that. We've asked our referees not to interpret it in that way, and so don't worry about it. And then we saw what happened yesterday, which where it blatantly was. And so if you're going to get into a situation where any time it hits a hand or an arm, whatever the situation, you're going to strap yourself in, because you're going to get a lot of those for the rest of the season.
It's piss poor. And this is the thing, that's why... Some of it is open to interpretation for the referees, and that's football. That is exactly what it is. When we see technology brought in other sports, did the ball hit the bat before it hit the pad in cricket?
Yeah.
It's definitive.
Yeah.
In rugby, did the ball cross? Goal line technology, absolutely brilliant. Great introduction to football.
But offsides, I'm fairly certain, unless I'm massively overstepping, if we've got, you know, fantastic technology that comes with these decisions in fractions of a second, there should be some technology that allows you to figure out when somebody passes a ball, somebody clicks a button, basically says, you know, someone's lofted a ball forward or kicked a ball forward, and then the computer just detect which player is in front of the other, and then the decisions are like that. Otherwise, we can't use it for offside.
If you can do something, as you say, where it bang and it'll maybe there's a message in the linesman's ear or something like that. It might be a late flag, but you'd rather a late flag rather than everybody go mad and celebrate. And then,
but you know, Jonathan Wilson, obviously of this parish as well, and then does a show on Saturday with you, Marcus. He was saying on Twitter this weekend that you're getting into the situation now where the frame rate that's being played back to the VAR referee in Stockley Park is actually not indicative of, because it condenses it down to a certain amount of frames per second, right? So how are they choosing which frame when the ball's played?
Yeah.
And how are they choosing which frame when the guy is offside or not offside?
Because
the playback is at a far lower frame rate than the capture is.
What do you mean? As in, like,
an HD camera can capture like 250 frames per second or something, but the playback is far lower than that.
Right. Okay.
So you're essentially deciding which frame to choose, and so the ball, the foot will be in contact with the ball when the ball is technically played for a load of frames.
Well, yeah, but daylight in between the foot and the, and
but,
the ball.
What, it's just,
there you go.
The point that we're even having this conversation in a knockabout football show is perhaps not the point for some people, because they say that the law should be correctly applied. I think we have a consensus here. I think that the laws need to be redrawn and changed to accommodate this at the very least. I mean, I would prefer it just to be just got rid of. But if we are going to, I feel a bit like you're not going to be able to halt the tide of development and of progress. So I think a compromise will at the very least be that they need to revisit the laws and how they look, because we are going to end up talking about this every single week otherwise.
You're absolutely right. Before we go for a break, Raheem,
we should say Man City were very good.
Raheem Sterling was superb, wasn't he?
Yeah. and that Raheem Sterling offside thing, I mean, they won 5-0, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If that's a game at the end of the season, I mean, you know, it's the margins. But they were brilliant. Pellegrini was kicking off, I think, wasn't he? About
tactical fouls and...
Well, that's something Pete Donaldson's been talking about for a long time.
Don't like it, mate.
Yeah, you've got an acolyte in Manuel Pellegrini, the engineer.
Indeed, yeah. Man City, the top of the league, of course, after the first week.
On goal scored.
Outscoring Liverpool, Manchester United.
Well, goal difference, sorry.
A record they haven't got thus far is going the whole season at the top of the league. And I'll leave
that
there.
In the US, they call that wire to wire, don't they?
Is that right?
Yeah.
So Man City have not gone wire to wire.
No.
And it wouldn't shock me if they did this season.
Well, you know, Liverpool started the season on Friday, obviously, very impressively. And I know Norwich, there was some weird stats about Norwich having a lot of shots and all the rest of it. But Liverpool were far and away brilliant. Mm. And then for their fans, it must be a bit like, God. Right, so we win pretty handily and we could have won by a lot more, but we didn't. And now Man City just knock off 5 goals away from home easily.
Against a side that we talked up in pre-season saying they're looking good, they've made some good...
But they do have a very poor record against Man City.
Doesn't everybody?
They're 22-1 down aggregate now against Man City.
They can still get it back.
I was going to say, was that one and away goal or not? I'm just trying to work out if they need a 21 or 22 goal yeah. swing.
Crunching those numbers.
We'll work that out in the break. See you in a moment.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/ramble.
Welcome back to Football Ramble Daily, everybody.
Yeah, I thought I'd come back off the break and talk a bit about our Discord, because there's been some highlights this week. And of course, Discord is our chat server available for people who are patrons, and you can become a patron for as little as $5 a month by going to patreon.com/footballrambledaily. Discord user Ben Downey found a restaurant menu where certain dishes are named after high-profile managers. Do you want to have a guess?
Okay.
I'll give you the name of the manager. You can guess the dish, if you like. First up, the Conte, as in Antonio Conte.
Mm-hmm. Well, so what is it, the signature dish?
I'll give you a clue. It's in the snacks and wraps section.
Snacks and wraps.
Of a food menu, and they're named after managers. What do you think the Conte is?
The Conte. I would go for...
There's no rhyme or reason to this, really. You're going to try and work it out. You're not going to be
fish
able to.
Fish taco.
No, it's got to be something hot and spicy.
Right.
It's sort of a Mexican-y sort of type of thing.
A portion of chips.
Oh.
Can I have a Conte? It's a portion of chips. Klopp. Do you know what the Klopp is?
German sausage.
This is the thing. They're
waffle.
Often,
a pressed waffle.
It's a Parma ham wrap.
They're having a giggle.
I know. Mourinho. The Mourinho is a Cajun melt wrap.
All right.
He does melt down quite
a lot. The Simeone is a quinoa wrap.
I was going to say. Go on.
I'll give you the last one. The Allegri.
The bowl of cereal.
For no reason at all, the Allegri is fish and chips.
What?
My other highlight of the Discord this week has been people sharing their pre-match meals, uploading photos onto the Discord. Marcus will be absolutely delighted to know. Lots of full English breakfast uploaded there. Get in there.
Black pudding.
So if you want to get involved in that or indeed any other chat with fellow Ramble listeners and us, of course, it's patreon.com/footballrambledaily.
Yeah. £5?
As little as $5 a month. Although you can contribute more should you wish.
Mm. So it's in dollars?
It is in dollars, yeah.
Oh, that's handy. Yeah, or is it? I don't know what the pound's doing
these
days. My goodness, yeah. All right, let's have some emails with PED.
You email show at footballrambledaily.com. And now PED is reading it out. Well done.
I forgot the new Ramble email address and I remembered it by singing that song in my head. So it works, people.
I had that stuck in my head all week.
Yes.
Over the weekend, I managed to get rid of it. And
now it's back.
People are missing the bees, but the bees are over. Deal with it.
Bees, go away.
They'll be in stink soon. Don't need stuffed. Them.
Hello to Thomas. Hi, Ramblers. My dad recently turned 50, so he's taking my mum, sister, and I on a trip down to Buenos Aires.
Wow, that's good. Yeah, that's good.
Big, isn't it?
Great city.
As we are both big football fans, he decided to try and get us tickets to watch the Copa Libertadores at Champions at River Plate. He said it was difficult to get tickets, but he got a good deal with the tour company. On the way at the stadium, he said, oh, by the way, these are corporate seats, the only ones I could get. Marcus has woken up.
I've been there. It wasn't corporate. It was very much sitting on a concrete block.
Is this the most elongated Marcus spot ever? Marcus was in there with a shirt.
He was peeing off the top.
You boys have had more corporate experiences than I have.
It's all about the narrative, though, mate.
I thought perhaps we'd get a steak and chips in a posh restaurant. We turned up. There was a room about 20 foot by 10 foot with 4 bean bags, a couple of sofas, some empanadas, and perhaps the weirdest thing I've ever seen in a football stadium, a barber giving out free haircuts to the patrons.
How about that?
I actually need a haircut at the moment. So yeah. That'll be all over that.
Yeah.
That's not available on our Patreon, by the way.
No, might be.
I'll give him a go.
Yeah.
Get on the 100 tier. Get on the 100 tier.
Give you a group. Pete's got a Grealish, hasn't he, at the moment?
It's not free then, is it?
Yeah.
Well, what's the weirdest thing you've ever seen at a stadium? There's got to be people who can beat the barber thing, so do get in touch.
Show it at
footballrambledaily.com.
Sing it, it'll be easier.
It's your... I couldn't get it right. hello to Richard Thompson. All right, Pete, as much as I like the new jingle, I do find it slightly patronising, congratulating me on having someone else read my email, which is generally the minimum I expect for such a communication. Having said that, if this does get read out, I'll take all of the plaudits that come my way.
And if that is the Richard Thompson, head of Fairport Convention and guitarist extraordinaire, and almost single-handed founder of the folk movement in England, I think we take his feedback on the
fair
song.
Fair dues. Yeah.
We would.
Mark Carr's got in touch.
He'll probably write a song about it.
Yeah. Mark Carr's got in touch. I'm a loyal listener and really enjoy the daily format for the new season. I respect the opinions of all the hosts and really enjoy their insight, but I absolutely hate the new song for the email portion of the show. It makes me cringe and turn down the volume every time I hear it.
You email show at footballrambledaily.com. And now Pete is reading it out. Well done.
So there's another slightly different melodic version of that, isn't there?
Yeah.
You've got two versions, right? I think this one's better.
Email show.
It's more passionate.
Bit of minor in there, isn't it?
Yeah.
And now Pete is reading it out. Well done.
I think that's more wintry.
To
me, that should be the rain start. Is lashing down.
I know what you mean. He's gazing wistfully out the
maybe
window.
Maybe I should add some raindrops.
It's a bit November rain, that.
Yeah. That's got to be the start. And I think the one at the end, the other one should be the one at the end. Because it's kind of like a refrain, isn't it?
All
it's
right.
kind of like a reprise.
I might put some raindrops on the first
by
one.
By the way, did you just skirt over the question that our first emailer asked?
What was it?
What's the weirdest thing you've seen at a ground?
Yeah.
Oh, well, people can get in touch about that.
Oh, I see.
What's yours?
Should I play the jingle?
I would say a home goal at Fratton Park.
Didn't they win on the weekend?
Yeah, I did. More on that later.
Okay. I once saw Batman running around the American R in Brazil, in Rio.
Nice. That's solving crimes.
Yeah.
Was it like a Bruce Wayne, like a old-fashioned 60s Batman, or was it like a more modern one?
He was the other side of the stadium, but yeah, I know Batman when I see him.
Yeah, but what, you know that they're...
Yeah, sure. No, it was...
George Clooney with nipples? Anyone?
It was a bit more Clooney than
Rooney.
What do you call him?
Bale?
No.
Adam West.
Adam West.
Right, okay.
Yeah. It was wonderful, though. Endorse all that.
Great.
He was on his own. That was the best. It wasn't like there was a group of them all dressed up. He was on his own, Peter.
Lonely Batman.
But the life of a superhero can be lonely.
That's the curse.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, I wasn't going anywhere near him.
You'd hope that Robin would be with him at some point, or indeed his butler. What's his butler called?
Alfred.
Alfred, that's it.
Jeffrey. I'm thinking Fresh Prince.
No, you're thinking
Rainbow.
Rainbow, yeah. God, I'd love that. Batman's butler could be Jeffrey from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That'd be brilliant.
Yeah, it'd be very good. Master Bruce. Yeah. All right, then. Let's move on to Tottenham Hotspur beating Aston Villa. Good first half from Villa.
Pochettino was very honest afterwards, wasn't he?
Too honest.
So he messed it up. Messed it up, mate.
Yeah, but he also...
He messed up.
I messed up, Master Bruce. he also was sort of denied Christian Eriksen the game-changing effect he had. He was like, well, you know, he sort of came on, but I mean...
We could have lost, though. I
think we would have won anyway.
Yeah. He said, I'm very happy. Like what? I told you before, I was happy with my squad, and now to add more players, I'm so happy with the way the squad's come together. I was happy before. I'm happy plus. I'm a happy man.
And I'd be happy if Levy spent more money as well.
Yeah, it's probably protesting a bit too much. Why is he talking like this, Pochettino?
It's strange, isn't it?
But he obviously Eriksen had a big impact, but the change in the shape had a big impact as well. And I think Aston Villa gave a good account of themselves, didn't they?
Oh, they did.
John McGinn's a great player. I know I'm late to the party saying that, and maybe I didn't say it enough last season, but he's a fantastic player. When they changed it up, Spurs, they found it a lot easier. And then Dombele had a brilliant second half of the game.
Would you say McGinn's goal was a bit Jean-Pierre Papin?
I would, actually. Yeah, I would say that. I very much appreciate you mentioning it.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought you would. Yeah. I was really hoping for Tom Heaton to keep a clean sheet.
He made some good saves, by the way.
England's number two.
Yeah.
He was brilliant.
Well, Popey's back now, isn't he?
There's a proper tussle.
Clean sheet and a big 3-0 win.
Tussle for two.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And Dombele with a lovely goal.
Yeah,
what I liked about that is he smashed it home, and he's like, back to our own half, lads. Yeah. Point's not good enough here.
No,
the professionalism of the man. I did enjoy that. But yeah, Eriksen did change the game. Now, if Eriksen goes, there's still a bit of a question mark there. What would you fancy Spurs doing? I mean, they've got attacking options.
Well, they've got
Lo
Celso to come in, haven't they?
Exactly. But Eriksen, considering he is probably one of the best players in the league, you would say, in that position, that they would miss an awful lot if he went.
Yeah, I would like them to say, look, you're not going. I know it's easier said than done. But the talk earlier in the summer was that Eriksen wanted to go to Real Madrid and nowhere else. That was it. It was like that or nothing.
Mm. Yeah, but
and then that link came out with Atletico Madrid. Mm. And people were, I think maybe people just thought, oh, he really wants to move to the city of Madrid or something.
Yeah.
But because he turned down the move to Man United, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Quite famously. I don't know, we'll have to see, because obviously the transfer window in Europe doesn't close for a little bit. But Eric Lamela's been brilliant in pre-season. Mm-hmm. I don't think he had a terrible game, but the formation they play, which was, I suppose, designed to free up Lamela with Winks sort of holding, didn't really work.
Sure.
And there's no subtlety to Sissoko's play. I mean, he's a good, solid operator, and he's energy, but he's got no finesse to his play. Although I think he might have got an assist in that game. But when they changed it up, the formation and the introduction of Eriksen, from what I was watching, made all the difference. And but Aston Villa, they started very, very well.
They did start well. It was a shame for Grealish, the way he got caught in possession, which led to the second goal. But that run he made in the first half when he burst forward, I was like, oh, he's a bit more of that, Jack.
Him and McGinn in the middle, great players. And I think that might be the difference for Villa this season. But having said all that, I don't actually think it's the most intelligent thing to do to be analysing too much on the first day of the season.
I know what you mean. I mean, what you mean.
They came out the blocks, didn't they, Villa? And it was just like, well, any team can do that in the first half an hour of a play.
Yeah.
The promoted teams can be a bit like the kid who's gone to big school on the first day. Mm. Legging it around the playground really happy.
Mm. Blackpool.
Or a bit timid.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Perhaps, yeah. But the point I was just going to make is that when you saw that Norwich played Liverpool at Anfield on the opening day, you think, okay, that's a real tough ask for them. And I don't know if we mentioned it last week or not, I can't remember. But you can make an argument that that's the best time to play them because you might catch them cold. You don't know what you're going to get from them.
We were wrong on that.
Yeah, they absolutely battered them. Men against boys. But you got to play them at some point.
You do.
You know.
Yeah, I think the first week is sort of a bit of a free hit. And I think with Norwich, the fact they scored was great. They kept the scoreline down because going in, what was it, 4-0 at halftime? You did fear for them a little bit. So it was good they scored. It gives the fans a little bit of a cheer and you think, okay, right, blimey, that's what we're up against. That is one of the hardest places, one of the hardest games we'll have all season. Mm. But it is quite interesting seeing newly promoted sides. And as I said, this sort of slight, revolution's far too strong a word, but this sort of sea change of playing the ball out from the back, we see it in even the lower leagues now. And one of the sides who have quite an exciting formation and attacks is Sheffield United.
Oh, Danny Mills told me they play long ball stuff and they're really direct.
Oh. Okay, well, we'll all have to rethink that.
Stop the show.
Yeah, Chris Wilder, he needs to know what his tactics are.
Because I heard Brian Dean on the radio over the weekend.
Dean.
He was asked about Danny Mills' comments.
Yeah.
And Brian Dean, I was thinking, maybe it's because he scored the first goal of the Premier League era and he always looks really happy. Mm. And he's always been very patient about being asked about that. Because any time he ever gets asked about anything, it's about what does it feel like to score the first goal in the Premier League ever?
Yeah.
And he's always really nice about it.
It's so just another season.
I always thought,
and Brian Dean, the goal machine.
Yeah, so I always thought he's obviously a really nice bloke. He's in that Coca-Cola advert at the moment, isn't he? Everyone's loving him.
Right.
Ah. First question, what do you make of Danny Mills' comments, Brian Dean? I think you should be absolutely ashamed of him. Or words to that effect. He was fuming about it. So
I understand. I understand. That sometimes, you know, pundits, and hey, you know,
we do it
exactly. You might get something wrong
because I think
that's a lower pay grade.
But I think the difference, not Danny Mills. I think this, an absolute, you're absolutely right to say that, and we should be self aware enough to understand that.
There is a but
right
here, though, isn't there?
Well, there is a but because I think that Danny Mills's comes from rank laziness,
yes,
and ours doesn't. Ours comes from the fact that you can't be across all 150 teams all over Europe that you've got to talk about.
Exactly. Right? We can't be across absolutely everything. So it was a great win for Sheffield United.
I thought they were shit. I'm fed up with that long ball football.
I tell you what, though, when all said and done, Fox in the Box, Billy Sharp, just getting a little toe ender.
The sharpshooter?
That was lovely. It was one of the moments of the weekend, unless you were a Bournemouth or Sheffield.
I tell you who
Wednesday
was most pleased about it, Ollie McBurney, who massively miscued his clear cut chance 6 yards out.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Amazing, though. I mean, he was one of the four players who started with Chris Wilder in League One 3 years ago. And there he is scoring in the Premier League. Absolutely super.
It's kind of like it's the team he supports, isn't it, as well?
They call him Mr. Sheffield United. You know what I mean?
He's also had a terrible time of it in his personal life. He's had a very difficult time over the years. And delighted for him to get a goal in the Premier League. At the age he is, which is much younger than all of us, of course, but in Premier League terms, he's
33,
he's an old man. So it was great to see him come off the bench and have an effect and have an impact.
But the scene's a celebration.
It's an 88th-minute goal in your Premier League, first Premier League game of the season.
VAR has confirmed that one's allowed.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Yeah.
If it hadn't, I think we would have all said, I'm sorry, VAR.
Yeah,
you're wrong. That one's
denying
standing.
Billy Sharp.
Imagine that. What have you ruled that one out for?
The fellow who grabbed the Bournemouth steward by the head and was like, and all this kind of stuff. I'm sorry, that would have been counted as a draw.
Do not grab people's heads.
Chris Wilder was saying that they had their, as he called it, their pre-match walk through the town of Bournemouth at like 11 o'clock in the morning. Did teams do this?
He's got some interesting ideas, Chris Wilder.
Well, it was about 11 o'clock in the morning, and Sheffield is a fair way away from Bournemouth, obviously, on the south coast. But he said that a load of Sheffield United fans saw them and came piling out of one of the pubs and were like, hey, lads! And it was like, oh, didn't realise this was going to happen.
Well, I think if you can play three at the back and have overlapping centre-backs, you can have a
gravy
walk in the town before.
Different gravy granules.
A match report I read from someone, I forget who it was now, so apologies to them, was saying that they're an amazing team to watch, Sheffield United, because they have these centre-backs that are allowed to do these certain things. But they said that John Egan, who plays in the middle of the three centre-backs, he almost acts as like a quarterback.
Yeah.
He's dictating. He's calling people back, saying when people can go forward.
Yeah.
And he's almost like the on-field general for Chris Wilder.
Yeah.
So that'll be really interesting throughout the season. It's not the hardest task to play Bournemouth away on the first day. So they would have taken that, wouldn't they, when the fixture list came out?
They would have done.
To come away from that with a point is decent.
Well, Manchester City only beat them 2-1 with a very late goal last season. But that was last season. We're talking about this season.
Exactly.
The half-time entertainment at Bournemouth. All I've got on this is a fan from each team attempted to beat up Cherry Bear, the Bournemouth mascot. I assume that's
the wife
kid
of Tony Bear. Oh no! What'd she do to deserve that?
She's a barrister. Have some respect.
She's a bar and goodness. I assume there's an age cap on that.
Yeah.
Some bit, all right, my turn, is it?
Yeah.
Blimey.
So Sean Bean doing it, getting involved.
Could have been,
couldn't it?
Could be Beanie.
Yeah.
I just want to play for United.
Yeah. And at the end of the halftime entertainment, Sean Bean gets his head chopped off.
Yeah. Sorry, James. I had to. What did he do?
You sound like Bob Mortimer doing an impression there.
I should stop.
Yeah.
It's Nick Hewer or bust with me.
You should just stop.
And I'll carry on now.
Yeah.
But 8 English managers in the top flight this season.
You were in a real English tip today, mate.
Well, you know,
Pete's going to start calling you Brexit in a minute.
Boris Johnson's just got me feeling very encouraged about that.
Is that right? Optimism
will win us the World Cup.
Yeah.
But there were just 4 going into the season last time around. It will be surprising if there are six of those English managers left at Christmas. but it's good that a manager, we're honing in on Chris Wilder, that a manager like him's come up from the Championship. And often we talk about the Neil Warnocks who come up and they, you know, there was that statistic, was it knocking around last season, where the teams who tend to play the long ball and play direct, they're generally the ones who stay up. And Cardiff and Warnock, only just, but they bucked that trend last season. Of course, they went back down. And now you see Sheffield United and Villa and Norwich. Now, I understand Norwich don't have an English manager, but they look like they're going to try and play a bit of football. I know it didn't work out with Fulham last season, but that was, I think that might be a bit different. I'm intrigued, and I'm hoping that these three sides actually manage to keep a bit of their identity. It is very, very difficult when you're winning most weeks in the Championship to go up, and then you have to adapt. And you do have to be a little bit realistic. You know, as Norwich found out, if you go to Anfield and try and go toe-to-toe, you're going to get blasted.
Yeah.
But I think it makes for interesting viewing.
I would be less concerned about the style of play and trying to draw a comparison there than I would be the fact that realistically, in the Premier League this season, and hey, this could come back to haunt me, there's probably only five teams that you'd think can, in realistic danger of being relegated. Of course, the three promoted ones, Newcastle, and maybe Burnley or Bournemouth. I mean, who else is realistically going to, do you think, will be down there?
Well, Southampton and Brighton.
I think Palace might have a bit of bother this season.
Okay, so there's eight. Forget what I said.
But I mean, Brighton will
think,
hang on a minute.
There's eight in danger of relegation.
Zaha will be down until soon.
But Brighton will think this is, hang on, we won 3-0.
Oh no, Jules Breach tomorrow on Jules Nandy's going to be absolutely cock-a-hoop for that, I'm telling you.
So she should be.
Amazing,
yeah.
Amazing start. Was that Brighton's largest ever top flight away win in Graham Potter's first game in charge?
Must be.
Oh, there's only one way to go from here.
To be fair, again, that's one of those results in which I think Watford will think, how on earth did we lose that 3-0? I wouldn't worry about Watford this coming season. And another day, that would definitely not have been 3-0. Brighton, nope, they were clinical. Fair play to them. Great win.
The reason I didn't include Brighton in that is just because I've just been inundated with people telling me how good Graham Potter is over and over and over again.
Really?
So maybe I've just been seduced by that 3-0 away win.
You might have been.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. You guys are right. I'm completely wrong. Brighton and Palace do have it absolute. They're absolutely in danger.
Yeah. All right.
Despite what happened at the weekend.
I would like to move on by talking about Tom Kearney's wand.
Oh, you were at Craven Cottage this weekend.
Tom Kearney was waving that beautiful wand.
A lovely
at the
goal.
Cottage. Goal of the weekend for me.
Yeah. Right there. Now he's now the pressure's off. Back in the Championship where he feels more comfortable.
is it because Mitrovic missed his overhead kick?
Mitrovic scored.
Yeah. Did he score his overhead kick?
No, not many people do score overhead kicks.
That's a good point, actually.
Mitrovic, he scored right at the end.
Basically, Pete scored one on FIFA, didn't he? That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
We always talk about that.
Is that right? Okay.
Oh, well done, Peter. Yeah. With your computer games. Mitrovic, Peter, he looks delighted.
Did he play well?
Fulham were, Fulham were playing right very deep. They were taking advantage, certainly the first half, of the free pass in the box to Alfie Mawson. Usually.
You can tell teams just aren't used to that at all. They look really lost.
Yeah, well, Blackburn pressured them early on. And this is happening throughout the Football League now. Mm. Blackburn pressured them early on and Fulham did look a little bit nervy at times. And some of the home fans were getting slightly restless. And this is Fulham, you know, often have passed the ball, especially under Jukanovic in the Championship two scenes ago now. But Harry Arter's in the middle of the pitch for Fulham. He drops deep, comes to collect the ball from the centre-halves. It is interesting to see a player like Harry Arter, who likes a bit of spice, a little bit of bite in there. So, but I think Fulham look pretty good overall, actually. And I'm intrigued. And it's lovely to see Knockaart in a Fulham shirt.
Proper did he play the whole game?
Yeah, he was subbed off towards the end.
But he was chalking his boots, wasn't he?
Oh, man, he did so much width. That out ball to Knockaart, it's so handy to have.
Yeah, he's a great player at that level. One thing that may not have escaped the attention of many of our listeners, but it may have escaped the attention of a few others, is that Will Ferrell was at Fratton Park this weekend.
I can't stand celebrity fan kind of
situations. So he's good friends with Michael Eisner, apparently.
He's not a fan of Portsmouth. No, okay.
He owns... Michael Eisner owns Portsmouth, used to be, I think, the CEO of Disney. So that's how they know each other. And Will Ferrell was there. And that's fine. And he went to meet the team afterwards and everything, and Portsmouth won the game and all the rest of it. But this kind of caught my attention on Quest, who have the highlights of the English Football League this season. And their report from Fratton Park, see how many Will Ferrell puns this guy manages to fit into 1:40.
Is this going to make me cringe?
Ready, here we go.
Hollywood star Will Ferrell was in attendance at Fratton Park today, Tranmere attempting to play the Wedding Crashers. 10% of the time. Ronan Curtis scores every time. Not this one, though. His low drive saved by Scott Davis, the follow-up blocked by George Ray.
Have you heard this, Marcus?
No.
In a packed crowd, it would be easy for Rovers to be just the other guys.
Good.
But a game as good as they got. The Pompey defence, bewitched by Kieran Morris, his shot just wide. The goal when it came was worth the wait. A corner not fully cleared, a midfield anchor man, Ben Close.
It's a lovely goal, by the way.
Yeah.
His best attempt at blue steel in celebration.
Oh.
This degenerated into an old school end to ender with chances galore. Marcus Harness and Curtis, the producers in this move.
Ooh.
Lee Brown couldn't quite finish it off. Pompey kept pushing, only for Andy Cannon to live up to his name. And smash one off the post.
That isn't even a pun.
No, that's not a pun. I was doing it for that one.
Best chance came from a corner. A former semi-pro, Manny Monte, given plenty of room for activities, but his header bounced wide. The visitors at least trying to go down in a blaze of glory. His afternoon delight was sealed with a quarter hour to go.
Afternoon delight.
Cleared off the line. Tom Naylor reacting quickest to make it 2-0. Then the game, well, it escalated quickly.
Oh.
Brett Pittman's shot straight at Downing's head, but over the bar.
This is better than I thought it would be.
It's a moment to remember for birthday boy Brown.
It's nearly done, guys.
Effort saved by Davis. Brown denied a first ever Pompey goal by the linesman's flag. The 3 points secure. You stay classy, Portsmouth.
There it is.
There's just a lot of Anchorman in there. Too much Anchorman.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I think he said blaze of glory. Instead of blades of glory.
Yeah, he was going for blades.
He was going for blades, but he, yeah.
Apparently there's 14 in there.
Yeah.
In a minute and a half. It's pretty good.
Well, it's not bad.
It's pretty good.
It? Are we going to have that every time Portsmouth win?
It was
the full match report.
If you're still listening after that, thanks very much for sticking around.
I was in Rotterdam over the weekend.
Oh, that's
and I was,
right.
I was
oh,
watching
you
a bit.
Rotter.
And there was a Vitesse match on. And I completely forgot that... I'll level with you. I didn't actually know Slutsky's there.
Right,
the moment doing his thing. I was in the ground. I was like, oh, there's Lady Slutsky. I love that
the
guy.
The big sluts there.
The big sluts out. Also, Bayern Munich have beaten a team 23-0.
Yes.
Are you having a bit of that? Is that a great bit of pre-season action?
Was it not more? Was it 23?
It's 23. Well, Rotak Ergen, who obviously not as good as...
I was disappointed to hear that Lewandowski only scored a hat-trick.
Yeah, it's a bit poor.
I'm sorry, he played about 10 minutes.
Talisso
scored four.
So the reason I know that happened is because someone sent a photo, tweeted me a photo of a guy desperately trying in vain to stop Lewandowski scoring. And he really looked like me, but me about 10 years ago,
right.
A lot slimmer. And actually doing exactly the same thing I used to do at football. We're just trying to stop people better than me scoring and failing.
Faster than you.
Well, 23-0, that result would mean that West Ham would claw back the aggregate against Manchester City.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah.
That's all they need.
So it's something to aspire to.
In a world where the Premier League works like that anyway, which it doesn't, that's all they need.
Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. We've reached the end of the show.
I think we reached the end a while ago.
I think we did, yeah. Just the one ad break. That's what we're doing now, people. Thanks very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Pete Donaldson.
I'll do my own ad break. Buy Pete's shirts. They're clean.
Sometimes.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. See you soon.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
and receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.